Naughty Computer. Shame, 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 Naughty Computer. Naughty Nice Computer. Nice Soft Naughty Computer. Oh, Computer.
Boogie! You guys can't see it, but oh. Ken's just boogieing in here.
Come on now. This is
Keep
my,
on dancing.
This is from... This is my music.
Your music?
You're dating yourself.
Is that possible?
Yeah, how do you do that?
It's like, would you like to go out on a date?
Why, yes, I would.
Thank you. You are actually listening to the Computer Corner.
Believe it or not, we talk about computers, technology, and other things that ail you digital.
On occasion. We've posted a bunch of resources and ideas for you if you are a digital camera user.
In fact, if you're just a camera user,
yeah,
a lot of the ideas apply to any of the camera devices out there, whether they are digital or not. But it just turns out that these days, most everything has gone digital. I know there's a few purists out there cursing me right now.
Come on.
That's all right.
Come on.
Oh, well.
But we live in the digital world, so our focus is on digital. Doesn't mean that film is no good or whatever. But okay, back to the phones here. I believe it was Judy that was next, correct?
Judy is next, and we've got her dialed on in here on the Computer Corner.
Judy. Hello.
How can we help you?
Well, I just want to make sure that I have enough protection. I don't do a whole lot on my computer. I'm pretty computer illiterate.
You know, we need the Dr. Ruth use protection sound file. You know, we need that in that 3C.
That might be trademarked or something, though.
Use protection.
That's just as good.
So I have Norton antivirus.
Antivirus, okay, good.
And then I have Spy Sweeper.
Okay.
So those are the two that I have. Like
okay,
I
so,
don't do a whole lot.
So you have two programs that are basically covering the most likely places you're going to end up with security issues.
And you've probably got more things that you're not even aware of. Are you running Windows XP?
Yes.
Okay, well then, as long as you're running with the latest service pack, which I'm just going to guess most people are at this point, then you've actually got something else in there called the Windows Firewall that's helping to protect against things trying to come into your computer from the outside when you're connected online.
But your primary concern, Judy, if I understand it properly, we talked off the air as well, you do a lot of like online banking and financial stuff, right?
Right.
You want to make sure that you've protected yourself as much as possible so that when you're participating in those activities, you're not exposing yourself to some risk.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So here's kind of the overview. You've got your antivirus program. That's great. You've got your spyware program, and you have a spyware program that's more of an active versus passive program. Okay.
Right.
So what that means is a lot of the free spyware programs that are out there will do a good job after you've been infected of getting the stuff out, but it doesn't do anything to prevent them from jumping in. You have something that's a lot more active or proactive, trying to keep very commonly known exploits out of your system. So that's good. Okay. Unfortunately, none of this stuff means a pile of beans if your behavior allows some malicious code to bypass all that stuff. And when I say that, if you open a file attachment in an email, regardless of the fact that you have all this protection, there are various types of worms and viruses out there that if you do open, if you say, go ahead and open this file, the first thing they do is attack your security software and disables everything.
So you got to be careful what you do. The analogy we like to use is, you know, you can buy a car with seat belts, airbags, all kinds of great things, anti-lock brakes, things to help prevent accidents or to minimize damage. But if you decide you're going to just let go of the wheel, close your eyes and see what happens, you're probably going to get in an accident. So you got to make sure that you're still driving that car.
Okay.
So the advice we've always given, don't open file attachments unless you absolutely positively know what they are.
Especially don't open them when they come from people you think you know.
And that's the other reason we're starting to tell people, stop sending pictures via email for a number of reasons. One, they've now figured out how to make files look like pictures so that people go, oh, there's a picture from Judy. And I open it and boom, they got me. Okay. Two, spam filters all over the place, not just the ones that are built into your machine, but your internet service provider's spam filters a lot of times will not allow files through that have certain, or email messages through that have certain kinds of file attachments. Three, if you're sending files to somebody that's got a slow internet connection and you send them this huge file, that you've just really upset them. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons not to send things through email anymore, and there's just a couple of them. The other thing is if you click on certain links on certain websites, and I'm assuming you don't really have to worry about this, but if you had teenagers in your house, you should worry. those of you out there that have teenagers in your house, you should be overly concerned about identity theft because that is your biggest exposure point.
What about if you're like Chad and you kind of sometimes act like a teenager?
Right. But he's his own problem.
Okay.
Too many parents are out there are clueless about what their kids are doing on the computer. They're downloading illegal files. They're downloading, they're trying to bypass copyright laws for software, for music, for videos. Well, these thieves have figured out if they plant files in these file sharing communities that look like a movie or a picture or so on and so forth, they can encode some little special hidden program in those that basically starts to record all your keystrokes. So mom and dad, la-di-da, thinks everything's good, goes online, checks their financials, logs on, types in their username and password, and bada-bing, bada-boom, because of their teenagers. Mom and dad have been following the rules, but the teenagers haven't, and of course there's no way for mom and dad to know because all this software has been bypassed. You see how
right.
ridiculous this becomes?
Yeah.
So okay. What you do with the computer... So do as little as possible with the computer.
I do.
Actually,
I don't have that worry.
Just be responsible with what you do, how you do. Most people have, when they come to us and they say, my computer's all jacked up with X, Y, or Z, they usually kind of know in the back of their mind when it occurred. Oh, well, I got this thing and I knew better, but I had to see or I had to click or I had to. And so usually you kind of know where that line is. And you cross it anyway, just stop yourself and you'll be in good shape.
And the other thing you can do from time to time is close all your programs. Like if you're in front of your machine right now.
No.
Okay, but if you were, you close all your programs, all right? Make sure nothing's running other than your normal security software and that kind of thing. Do a Control-Alt-Delete, and this is for people using Windows XP. Do a Control-Alt-Delete, and a screen should show up that basically, it's called the Windows Task Manager.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the bottom left-hand corner of that screen, it'll show you how many processes are running. It'll say processes, colon, and then the number. Okay, with nothing running, we like to see that number in the low 30s.
Definitely below 35 is where you're in a good range. If you're above that, it doesn't necessarily mean you have a problem. It means there's a lot more stuff kind of running there that maybe doesn't need to be. And when you see that number up at all into the 50s, look out.
You might be concerned. You might have stuff running in the background that you're not aware that is, you know, that one of those things could be a worm or a virus or keylogger, those kinds of things. So that's a quick way to say, okay, I'm in pretty good shape from the overall health of this machine. I've got the security. I've got, wait a minute, I got 62 processes running and I've got no programs running right now. That means there's 20 or 30 things running in the background of my computer that I'm not sure what they are. And at that point, you might want to get, you know, somebody technical to start looking at all the stuff that's actually running because there's no way for us to tell you which ones you should have and which ones you shouldn't. It's
right.
a case-by-case basis. Does that help?
Right. Yes, definitely.
Give you some level. So if you're in the 30s with the processes running and you got good quality antivirus and spyware, then you're doing as much as you can as far as the machine goes. Now the rest is on you.
Right.
All right?
Can I ask you one more quick question?
Sure.
I turn it off every time I'm on it. Do I have to do that?
Well, I would suggest that when you want to use it, that you turn it on. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I usually turn it on when I want to use. But here's the question I think you're really getting at.
No, I mean, I turn the computer off.
When you're finished, right?
When I'm finished.
Yeah, that usually works better, too.
Down.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, there's three guys sitting in the room here. There's Ken, there's Chad, and there's myself.
Yes.
And all of us have our home computer and our work computer is on pretty much all the time.
Yes, true.
So if that tells you anything, now if you're going to be away from the computer for an extended amount of time, if you're going to go away for a week, you're going to be gone for 3 months, whatever the case may be, then yeah, that might not be a bad idea to turn that thing off. But otherwise, the people that I know that are in the business that work with this stuff all the time, leave it on all the time. And if you want to save power, turn off your monitor.
Right.
Most monitors these days are smart enough to, after a certain amount of time of inactivity, they do that themselves. But
there are esoteric views of what's better, what's worse. So primarily,
can I leave it logged in to, like, I have MSN.
Well, I think they automatically have a timeout period. So I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're connected or not. If you're on a high speed internet connection, you're pretty much on the internet all the time anyway.
Even if you don't have your browser open, you're always on.
Always on. Okay.
Yeah. So that part really doesn't matter.
Okay.
All
right.
Does
Thank
that
you
help
much.
You? Can you sleep well tonight now?
Oh, definitely.
Or at least go do the test and then sleep well, right? Yeah, test your machine there.
Thanks a lot. I will.
You bet. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I think we actually might have somehow in the hour and 40 minutes that we've been on, or just about been on, we might have actually helped a soul or two today.
And maybe give somebody some peace of mind.
You know, normally we're leaving going, I don't know if we did any good today. But today I feel like just we did a little bit of good.
A little bit of good?
A little bit of good.
You know what? We got a little bit more time left, so we might be able to do a little bit more good.
Maybe we can do a lot of good. How about John?
Actually, we're going to have John just sit tight.
No, but I'm saying when we come back.
Oh, John could be our guy.
Yeah, the looking to buy a laptop. That's a question a lot of people have.
Looking to buy a laptop.
John,
we did a little good. We're going to have Lauren Kelly do a little good and get you caught up with some KTAR traffic and weather together here.